for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Memorial Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, May the 26th, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on barriers to deliverance and healing.
A couple of things that I'm going to say before I start. First of all, if you have been blessed by this place and don't have a church, or don't get fed in your church, or have a church that has stained glass windows and smoke and light, I encourage you to give to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Because it's like, can you imagine $30,000 a year in my bill? Oh my goodness. That's one thing I want to encourage you to do. Another thing I want to thank God for is what God is doing in the prayer team. I think there's unity for the first time in all the years that I have been praying in this prayer team. There's unity. And we submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And we ask God for wisdom. And I just appreciate everybody that prayed this morning. I thank God for that. I thank God for the unity He's bringing in this whole place. You can feel a spirit of unity all over the whole ministry. And I know it's because God's doing some things that maybe we don't understand. But God loves this place so much, He wants there to be purity. He wants there to be repentance. I thank God that He doesn't want off-the-wall stuff, even though some of you may think some of the things we do is off-the-wall. But after doing them 31 years or 32 years, you know they work because you've seen lives change through principles that God's taught you. And so that was the second thing. What was the third thing, Lord? Can't think of anything else. But I appreciate all of you. I love being a part of this ministry, and I encourage people to come, to keep coming back. Because I tell people, you come here to all meetings and you won't know yourself next year. Because deliverance is little by little. In Exodus 23, it says, God says he's going to drive out the Canaanite nations and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and which are types and shadows of demons from the land. He was telling the children of Israel. He said, I'm not going to do it in one day. I'm going to drive them out little by little, lest you be consumed and be overwhelmed by all that's going on. Can you imagine that if everything that was wrong with you, God delivered in one day, you couldn't take it? And there's not, if anybody says you don't need deliverance, the Bible or doesn't have sin, he's a liar, and the truth's not even in him. But anyway, what I want to share this morning is, don't forget it. Bless the Lord. Anyway, I'm considering it not. Praise the Lord. Well, the message this morning is on barriers to deliverance and healing. What are the things that hinder deliverance? All of it is sin, but there's specific sins, and there's more than I'm even naming today, that are barriers to deliverance and healing. And I can say the number one thing, of course, is not being born again. Over the years I've been coming here, since 97, I've been coming to this place. Since 1997, I have observed that many people that even come for prayer are not even born again. They believe in their head, but they've never been transformed in their heart. And those of you, some of you heard my testimony, but I accepted the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 18 years old. But I was not born again until I was 25. I was born again when Kyle was 3 years old. You know, you don't really see how much that's wrong with you, and it's taken years to see some things. But when I had Kyle and he was 3 years old, I wanted more for him. I wanted to raise him right. And so I began to see things in my life that needed to change. But God transformed my heart, and all of a sudden, everything about me changed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Even this weekend, I see people come that have a religious Pharisee spirit. They're just Pharisees. A religious person deals with the outward. They never deal with heart issues. And the church is full of people that don't deal with their sin. So you got to forgive your mother. Oh, I've already forgiven for everything. Well, you've got to repent of your sin. Oh, I've already repented of all my sin. And they don't see that there are heart issues that need to change. If you don't believe me, what comes out of your mouth is coming from your heart. There's things down in your heart, and it's coming out of your mouth. And whatever's coming out of your mouth, you need deliverance from if it doesn't line up with the Word. Even your thought life, everything you think comes out of the heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Well, if these thoughts aren't right, if they're thoughts of lust or perversion or addictions or whatever these thoughts are, they're coming out of the heart, means there's something been planted down in the heart that's got to go. You know, the Bible tells us to take our thoughts captive. Well, you can't take your thoughts captive if you don't find out why you're thinking it. You can't control your tongue, James says. No man can control the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Well, I keep saying some stuff. I can't control it. Well, how do you control your tongue? You find out why you're speaking that and get your heart pure, and then your words will be pure. Does that make sense? But we're to take our thoughts captive. And so the first barrier to healing and deliverance is we need to be born again. There's been several people here that we've led in prayers to receive Jesus as their Savior. You know, if you receive Jesus and you don't deny yourself and are willing to take up your cross, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. But we receive Jesus, we accept it. Of course we don't want to go to hell. Sure we believe in Jesus. I believed in Jesus from the time I was a little girl, but I was not born again. But one day God changed my heart, and He's still changing it. And tomorrow He's going to change it again, and He's going to change it. And I'm going to change from glory to glory. And the Bible says you'll go from strength to strength, glory to glory. If you don't do that, you go backwards and you get overcome. And that's one of the roots to Alzheimer's. If there's ever a time we come to the place that we're not dealing with our stuff, then we go backwards. And there's stuff down in our heart that if we don't deal with heart issues, what's coming out of our mouth and what we think and what we're doing, and we don't deal with these things and find out what we do, we just keep your bitterness, and eventually bitterness will work out in your body of sickness. When somebody hurts you, you get angry, you get hurt, you let the sun go down on it, the next day it's unforgiveness, and then it becomes bitterness. And bitterness, if you don't deal with bitterness, and if you keep it down in your heart, eventually you'll be a sick person one of these days, if you're not already physically sick. And so I know people that I share with. I know a precious lady, and I just love her so much. And I pray, Lord, that you just change her heart. But she grew up being sexually molested by her daddy. Well, she's crippled in one of her feet or both of her feet. And I told her one day, I said, your daddy cripples your path. The bitterness towards your path. You need deliverance. I've invited her to the ladies' retreat. I've invited her to come. And she resists every time. She's had one foot operated on, was taking chemo for a foot problem. And now they're going to do surgery either on that same foot because it doesn't work. What you're doing is putting a Band-Aid on the spiritual problem. And so you've got to deal with heart issues. You've got to go back and deal with all that childhood pain that you may not want to face it, but you've got to. You sweep stuff under the rug, and that's where it stays. You've got to get the stuff out from under the rug and deal with it. So not being born again is the number one hindrance and barrier to deliverance and healing. And then the next thing I would say, and I'm not saying these Well, some of these are in order of priority, but most of them are just at random. I just put this together. At my last seminar, I thought I already had these notes, and then I couldn't read them, and I had to put them together quickly in an hour or two, so they're all kind of at random. But the next thing I would say of importance is unbelief and doubt. It's impossible to have faith in God with a conscience that's not clear. And the scripture that backs that up is 1 John 3:21. If your conscience is clear, you have confidence, which is faith and trust in God, and you have freedom of speech. So there's two things in that scripture, freedom of speech. When you get your conscience clear, you can speak freely. You can speak the truth in love. But as long as you have an issue there, it's almost like you're tongue-tied. But when you get that cleared up, then you can speak the truth in love and not blow up. Sometimes if you've got an issue and you don't deal with it, and you're holding it back, you want to say it, but you're holding it back. Sometimes in the past, I've had to get really mad, and then I'd blow up. I would stuff it, and then kabam, you got it. And you say things that you wish you hadn't said. But if you deal with your heart issues, then you're able to speak the truth in love without getting mad, without getting angry, to be able to reason with somebody. And so you have to have a clear conscience. And the Lord taught me this when I was pastoring the church years ago. I got a crick in my back. And people would pray for me. In fact, a man in the church and his wife prayed for me. And the little boy said, "You're not healed." And I wasn't. And so I kept thinking, well, this crick is going to work out of my back. Well, it wouldn't. So all week long, I had a crick in my back. And so before I was to preach the next Sunday, I pulled up all the scriptures on back. And it was about 300 of them. And I repented of every scripture on the back. And when I got to this, there was most of them didn't think apply, but I repented anyway and broke generational curses. But there were three, there was one that says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back." Well, it's a spiritual rod. I didn't have a physical rod. Oh, dear God, I've had a foolish mouth. And the scripture says, "A man who lacks understanding has a rod in his back." So I repented over that, and I repented over all those scriptures, and by the time, and so when I was dressing, after I repented over all of them, forgave my forefathers for sin, broke soul ties, broke generational curses, and I was dressing, and I still had a crick in my back, but I heard this, "You're healed," and my spirit man went, "Yes!" And I felt it. I mean, I still had a crick in my back, but I could not doubt that I was healed. I mean, I didn't have a thought that I wasn't. It didn't even enter my mind I wasn't healed. By the time I got to church, that crick was gone. You see, when I repented over all the scriptures and aligned my life with the Word of God, my conscience was clear. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying how important it is, whatever the problem is, if it's not going away, if you pray and you rebuke and you repent of what you know and it doesn't go away, then start searching the Word of God to see why it didn't go away. And in this instance, it was back. And you know, the Bible says He sent His Word to heal you. And so, sickness and disease and pestilence and in fact, sin is behind all sickness. It's behind our need for deliverance. It's behind our need to live an overcoming life. You know, we just resolve ourselves to some things. We just put up with our problems. God doesn't want you to live in problems. He wants you to overcome your problems. We can live such a problem-filled life that we live in problems. God is a problem-solving God. I just love that. I'm so thankful that problems come up every day, but I don't live in problems. And if I have a problem, I find out why I have it, what I'm doing wrong, what I need to die to, what I need to give up, what I need to let go of, what I need to deny myself, how I've judged my mother, how I judged my father, what I did to them. And I don't live in problems. And I'm not saying that boastfully. have to resolve yourself to living a life of problems. You know, I thank God for the way I grew up. It used to frustrate me so much. My mom and dad had a propane gas company, and they had a grocery store, and they had a laundry, and they had a garage, and they had all kinds of businesses. But my mom and dad would put up, they would, for example, they might pay somebody $10,000 to pave a parking lot, and the guy would run off with the money and not park in the parking lot. I mean, not do the parking lot. Well, things like that that we can't come up with them enabling people or allowing things to happen, I would hear them fuss. They never fussed with each other, except one time I heard them, and I was standing, it was after they thought we were asleep, and I was standing in their bedroom door listening to them argue. And I said, y'all need to be quiet right now. And they went. My mom and dad were the kind of people, when you showed them they did something wrong, you know, even though they really weren't in the Word, they didn't take us to church, they wanted to do right. But anyway, I grew up listening to them fuss about the people that had cheated them around the dinner table. And it was just frustrating. I always thought, well, you know, they could solve this problem if they'd do this, or they could solve this problem if they could do that. And naturally, you grew up thinking you're a little smarter than they were. And then you found out that you weren't as smart as you thought you were. When God, or you thought you could do it better. But growing up like that made me hate. I cannot stand to live around people that are problem-centered. Yeah. Let's get over it. Let's deal with it. And so that's how I grew up. And I thank God for that, because that caused me not to want to be a person that solved problems. And for years I prayed, Lord, I ask for extraordinary wisdom, knowledge, insight, dreams, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems. Now, I'm still working on the dreams. I dream something every night that is so crazy. I tell God sometimes, Lord, would you please watch over my dreams? I want to dream about you. I don't want to dream about taking care of dogs or something like that. Something crazy every night. I had about 4 or 5 dreams that I remember, and I know they were totally from God. But I want God dreams. So, Lord, I ask you right now, in the presence of these witnesses, we want visions and dreams from your throne. We don't want kooky stuff. In Jesus' name. So, sickness is a sin. Sin is behind sickness, and I want to prove that to you. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, first I want you to see the cause of it in verse 14. It says, verse 15, but it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Are we overtaken by curses? Are we overtaken by blessings? It says, cursed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. That's your children, your descendants, and your stuff. Now we don't have, maybe some people don't have flocks and livestock right now. We ought to get them if we can, because there's going to come a day when you may not come buy milk. Or, you know, you better get some stuff that will help you live. And they can take it all away from you if God allows it. But if you can, do it. If you can't, don't worry about it. Maybe your neighbor did. You can enjoy the benefits of what they did. Verse 21. Now, you see, the cause is disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments, and it's going to affect your offspring, your children. Verse 21. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you're entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption, that's a wasting lung disease, that's a lung problem, and with fever. You see fever's a curse? Did Jesus rebuke the fever from the man in the New Testament? Did he command the spirit of fever to go? You see fever is a demon? Or Jesus wouldn't have rebuked it. It says, and with inflammation, and with fiery heat, with the sore, with the blight, and with mildew, that's candida, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Now it says, you notice that he's going to parity with the sword, and I've got a message I haven't taught yet, that the sword is God's weapon. The enemy is God's weapon. With blight, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And the heaven which is above you, your head shall be bronze, and the earth beneath you iron. The heaven is cut off. Like Nikki prayed for an open heaven, hey, the heaven is brass over you. And then verse 28 says, and the Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness. Do you see that iPhones is a curse? With blindness, with bewilderment of heart. And you shall grow at noon as the blind man grows in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You see, that's a curse. And then look in chapter 58. Let's see what time it is. Chapter 58, it says, if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name of the Lord, your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants. Do you see how generational curses like heart problems, cancer, diabetes, blindness, macular degeneration, how that comes down through the generations because of what your mother and father did? Now, in the New Testament, it says all Scripture is given for reproof, correction, and training. The man of God may say it, Nikki, that Scripture, and he quoted it the other night. Second, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God for profitable for doctrine and correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully furnished. Okay, so that all Scripture means every word in the Word of God. Okay, so it says, then the Lord will bring on you extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants. And so look at your life. Is there something that you got that your mother and daddy had? Deal with it. Descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. And he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they'll cling to you. Well, in covenant, he took away the sickness, but when you break covenant, he brings it back. In Hebrews, it says a covenant is only valid when men are dead. I think that's Hebrews 6:9. I'm not sure. Or 9:6. So how does that mean they're only valid when I go out and kill myself? No, it means that God's covenant is only valid when you and I deny ourselves, when we die to our flesh, give up our life. Otherwise, we invalidate God's covenant. It says, so he took it off in covenant. He took sickness away in the blessings and the curses, but he brings it back when they break covenant. And he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring back on you until you're destroyed. Well, that covers any disease that's not even been discovered. Is that right? Every sickness and every disease. In Revelation 22, it says that if you take away or add to the Word of God, that every plague and every curse is on you. I think it was Nikki that quoted the scripture where it says that men's sins follow after them. Can you quote that again? I can't quote it. Okay, some men's sins, and that, well, you remember what that was? Some men's sins follow after them.
And then some men's sins ahead.
And some sins go before them. So that kind of takes care of generational iniquities of the forefathers, which is another block to healing, is that we've got to deal with the generational iniquities of the forefathers. We've got to break those curses. I've heard people say, Lord, forgive my forefathers for this sin, that sin. We can't forgive them. It's too late. They're dead. If they're dead, You can pray for them when they're alive, Lord, forgive them and Lord, help them. But after they're dead, it's a done deal. They're either in heaven or hell. And so, when I bring generational curses, I'm not saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm not saying, Lord, please forgive my forefathers. I'm saying, Lord, I take accountability for what they did. Somebody in my bloodline has got to recognize what's coming down. If it's sickness, distress, asthma, macular degeneration, or whatever it is, take accountability for what's coming down. And I want to be the person that stands up in my bloodline and puts that under the blood of Jesus. As I take accountability for what they did, then I can break generational curses because Jesus became a curse for me at Calvary. Is that right? So he became a curse for me at Calvary, so then I can apply the blood of Jesus and declare that curse is canceled when I stand up. And you say, well, you know, how can I do that? Well, the Bible says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father in Abraham, and Abraham was his grandfather. So if he paid tithes when he was in the loins of his grandfather, how much more evil stuff or good stuff? Whatever, a tithing was a good thing, but it also applies to something evil that was done in the generations. And I'm really seeing that a lot of our problems we were born with because of the sins of the fathers. Because if you didn't do these sins, let me tell you something, your mothers and fathers did everything. Look at your mothers and fathers and look at the mess that you grew up under. You know how many curses that are coming down the bloodline just because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers. And you know, I really love this because when I say, Lord, I recognize something's coming down my bloodline, and I'm in my mother and daddy are alive, and my sisters are alive, and my children are alive, and I'm being the one to stand up and break those curses. And Lord, I ask you to wash that by the blood of Jesus out of my bloodline, and I declare it goes no further. See, when I'm doing that, unless my family's committing those same sins, I'm cleansing their bloodline too. Does that make sense? And sometimes we think because, you know, we're not the mother, we're not the father. You may be the grandmother or the great-grandmother or the grandfather or the great-grandfather, but let me tell you something, you have authority to do that. I remember years ago, Kylie and Holly, I remember that when Holly was born, Kylie was the oldest, and she would hover over Holly just to try to, you know, hover over. And Holly used to go, I know Kyle probably remembers this, she'd go, and she wounded her with that. She was always hovering over when she was little. So I waited till they got to be 4 or 5 years old, and I explained to them one day what happened. I said, you know, Kylie, you wounded Holly when you were doing that. And Holly, you got wounded, so Kylie, you need to ask Holly to forgive you, and Holly, you need to ask Holly to forgive you. And they did, and I cast that out of them. And I want you to know that Holly and Kylie were maid of honor at each other's weddings. They're best friends. But I used to hear Kylie when she was little, she'd go, because Kylie had wounded her with that. Anyway, and I was a grandmother, I wasn't a parent. I had a guy that used to live at the farm, and he had a grandmother that was a real witch, and he had a grandmother that was a spiritual Christian. And he lived with her, and he would come home. He'd go out drugging and whatever, and he'd come home, and that Christian grandmother was sitting in a rocking chair waiting up for him, praying for him. And so he told me this was a true story. He had an earring wherever you could put one. And so he went to the Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and he went to a fortune teller, and he said, will you tell my fortune? And she said, I can't tell your fortune because you got a praying grandmother. So don't think that you're retired because you're the grandmother, the great-grandmother, or whatever. A mother and daddy will always be a mother and daddy, a godly mother and daddy, because we love our kids. Only we want God to be glorified in their lives. And so sickness is a curse. And in Proverbs 26:2 says, a curse without a cause cannot lie. So if I'm under a curse of sickness, I need to find out the cause, because it couldn't lie unless there was a cause. Does that make sense? Hello. I've had people tell me, When you tell people that sickness and sin are tied in, sometimes people don't like it. Are you calling me a sinner? Who isn't, Ron? You know, they say, I've repented. I've had so many people, I've repented of everything I know. You haven't repented of stuff you don't know about. You repented of everything on the surface you know about, but there's things under the surface that you need to deal with, and you can usually know what they are by what comes out your mouth. If you're a counselor, or you're on the prayer team, or you're counseling, or you're praying for somebody, listen to what comes out of their mouth. When you listen to what comes out of their mouth, then you know what's been planted down in their heart. Does that make sense? Or what they're thinking, you can go with the heart. So you have to listen. And those things that you, if they're not dealt with, eventually they're going to work out in your body in sickness. Another barrier to healing is not having a prospering soul. And I wish I'd have ministered that to a few people today, and yesterday and the day before, ministered that to them, because they've been trying to get deliverance for so many years and they haven't had a prospering soul, probably not even saved. Just probably has a religious spirit. You know, one sign the Holy Spirit's working in you, you'll be changing. Changing. Don't ever come to the place where you don't want to change. Don't ever minister if you've got unconfessed sin in your life. You know, I'm not afraid of demons. I'm not afraid of devils. I don't care where somebody's been, what they've been involved in. I'm not afraid of that at all. But because it's not where they've been, it's where they're going. But I forgot what I was going to say. But not having a prospering soul. People just are outwardly churchy, but they need to be born again. We dealt with someone earlier that was so intelligent, so smart, had it all together, and they thought so. And it was just a Pharisee spirit, just a religious spirit. And sad to say, I think they left with it. You know, God wants us, He wants us changed inside, from glory to glory, strength to strength. Most people don't deal with their sin, and when they're my age or they're older, in fact, people even younger than me, and younger than some of us. I'm amazed how old Jane is. Is she 70 years old? And there's a lot of old people around here. But I don't consider myself old, even though I am.
Vintage.
I mean, I'm not trying to say that. I'm not going to say that in a prideful way. But I don't feel old. But you know what? David said, when I keep silent about my sin, my body wastes away. And that means it becomes old and worn out. But God wants every day to be a day of refreshment. A day of refreshing. Remember the disciples that said that when they repented, refreshment comes in the presence of the Lord? He wants us to live in His presence. But not having a prospering soul. You don't get a prospering soul going to these fakey, flaky revivals. You don't get a prospering soul by listening to TBN, because most of the doctrines that come across the news or come across Christian TV is not even the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some good people that come across, I mean, that come, but the majority of it is heresy. If they really believe that you need to give them money so you'll get, why don't they start passing their money out? Yes. And so God says in 3 John, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So there has to be a prospering soul. And if it's not a prospering soul, you're in sin. And then, unconfessed sin. 1 John 3:9. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then if you cover over sin, whoever covers over his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes it will find mercy. The next barrier is failure to find the spiritual root of the problem. Proverbs 25, I think verse 2 says, the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. You know, it's amazing when you start searching for answers to a particular problem, how God gives you a message on that particular problem. He gives you insight. Sometimes I think God lets us do this, is to do these word studies, because it gives us information to help people besides helping ourselves. It gives us answers. The next root is ignorance of God's Word. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge of the Word because they reject knowledge." Isaiah 5:13 says, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." And you know what? Knowledge is the truth that sets me free. The answer to my problem isn't always in God's Word. It may be worded a little different, but you'll find the answers in God's Word. Proverbs 24:3 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge all the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches." This proverb says, knowledge increases power. That really convicted me this morning. That means we need to study God's Word, not to be arrogant about it. We need to study God's Word because the more of His Word we know, the more power we have in ministry. Proverbs 11:9 says, "Through knowledge, the righteous are delivered." 1 Peter 2:4 says, well, Isaiah 53 says, "By His stripes I am healed. I was healed at Calvary." 1 Peter 2:4 says, "For He Himself bore our sickness on the cross that we might, number one, die to sin, number two, live to righteousness, and number three, we can believe God for Him. I mean, we can be assured of healing. Die to sin, live to righteousness, and by His stripes you were healed." Hallelujah. And then fear is another barrier to healing. Fear is behind all autoimmune diseases. It's behind asthma. It can be fear coming down the generations. If there's a lot of people in your family that has it, it can be a spirit of fear coming down the generations. And it just needs to be broken. You know, if a person didn't believe in curses, I think Kyle said this, you go to the doctor and they ask for a medical history. Did your daddy have heart trouble? Did your mother have heart trouble? They call it genealogy or whatever. What do they call it? Yeah. But God calls it curses, generational curses. And when you let someone pronounce something over you, they prophesy. Fred Willer, when he was here, he said, when you go to the doctor and they diagnose you, they are prophesying over you, you have it. And death and life are the power of the tongue. And then another barrier to in fear is fear, worry, anxiety. It's all unbelief. It goes back to a spirit of unbelief. And it comes down to generationally through not being nurtured. Fear's been I've had fear, but it's been one of the lesser things where pride and arrogance has been the ones that fit me the most. I grew up being very protected. And sometimes our parents push us into things that make fear, or they don't nurture us, or they don't take care of us, and it opens us up to a spirit of fear. Or if we had to take care of ourselves growing up, nobody took care of us. We had to be the one. Well, we hear about the one world order, and we just almost freak out because we think, oh, dear God, I can take care of myself, and if the one world order comes, I'm in trouble. Well, you are if you're taking care of yourself. You can't take care of yourself. Only thing we can do is just hang on to Jesus and walk in His Word. And we're deceived to think we're hanging on to Him and living in sin. Well, that is a big deception, that we can keep on fornicating or being a whoremonger or an adulterer or a drunkard and get to heaven. God says no drunkard, no liar, no thief, no fornicator, no adulterer, no liar, no thief, no unbeliever, effeminate, idolater. Well, they're the king of heaven. And in all sin is idolatry. It doesn't mean we don't sin, but it means we don't practice that same sin. It means it means like we're like Job. We see sin and we turn from it. We fear God so much that when we see what we're doing wrong, we turn from it. We stop doing it. And His grace is, when you're born again, His grace is there for you to stop doing it. And depression, let me tell you, depression is rooted in idolatry. You say, well, I'm just depressed. Well, you're depressed because you're not getting your idol. Right? I know. I mean, all these things I'm saying is I've been there, done that. As I've asked God for answers, He's shown me. Just, you know, God wants you to live with the joy of the Lord. We all have our bad days, too. Trusting in man is another barrier to healing. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, or Jeremiah 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. Cursed. The next thing is taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. Because the Bible says some are weak, sick, and die because of taking the Lord's Supper with sin in their life. And then sometimes people know about that and they're too prideful to let you know they have sin in their life, so they'll take it anyway. A spirit of pride will cause them to take it, even when there's sin in their life. Bill Docker said that when you take the Lord's Supper regularly in a church, you have less friction in families because people would dare, if they know the truth, take that with sin in their life. Another thing is participating in the occult. Worship of false gods, making covenants with people who worship false gods, joining New Age cults. You do that, I'm telling you, it's not an easy thing to get out of. But hey, the good news is you can get out of it. There's light up ahead. But you're not going to get it out in one big ball of wax because it didn't take you that long. It took you a long time to get it. You have to walk through things. And I tell people, if you didn't get delivered from what you came for, don't be discouraged. But ask the Lord, what is the first thing you want me to deal with, Lord? It's just too overwhelming, all the things that are wrong with me. What's the first thing? And then deal with it. Okay, Lord, what's the next thing? Okay, what's the next thing? And eventually, there's light up ahead. But you've got to keep on chipping away at it till it's gone. So be encouraged. There's scriptures here. Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. You know, one thing we've been doing is praying at the prayer meeting that if any curses are coming on any of us, they boomerang back on whoever sends them 7 times over, unbroken and in full force, not to kill them, hurt them, harm them. And I think that's run a few people with wrong motives off. Amen? We don't want to ever curse somebody, send a curse back on someone to hurt them, because God loves them too. They need salvation. But can you see when a curse comes back and there's a big demonstration in their presence, how it might scare their pants off to where they won't want to do it anymore? Amen. It says, For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for those nations which you shall dispossess. Listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has allowed you to do so. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. And see, when the one world order hits America, God's going to keep you if you keep covenant with him. He's got plans for you. Wherever you're put, you're there because you're an ambassador of Christ. You know, when I meet strangers, I don't see the strangers because they become friends when I meet them, because my interest is to lead them to Christ. My interest is for their own good. So I don't see them as, they're only strangers until I meet them. And then my eternal purpose is to win them to the Lord. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your your womb, that's your children, and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, that's your food, your supply, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which you swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am going to listen to the judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with his covenant and his loving kindness which he swore to you. And he's going to love you and bless you and multiply you if it's a condition. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Now, you know, with Sharon and I did work studies. When I used to have cows, every time they would have calves, they would miscarry. They would, the calves would die. So I did work studies on livestock, animals, and repented over all of them. And then they still kept dying. And it turned out they weren't getting enough protein to deliver the babies. But anyway, I found the answer. Praise the Lord. You shall be blessed of all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known. But Egypt means the world, but he will lay them on all who hate you. So see, when we walk in love and somebody hates us, guess what? They're going to get sick. We better love each other. The next thing is bringing an accursed thing into your home or into your ministry. Deuteronomy 4:16. So that you do not act corrupt and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Some of the toys that kids play with. Oh my goodness. They're in the likeness of demons. They're in the likeness. Even Legos. A little boy we pray for was showing us that used to Legos was an end of the game. And now they've added all kind of demonic characters to it. Bringing those things into your home. It says, Do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of an animal that is on the earth. You know, that's the stuffed animals and the dolls, idols. The likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below, and beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them. You know how you worship them? You try to take one of these toys away from some of these kids. Or try to take away somebody's angel collection they have in their house. Tell me they're not worshiping them. They are. When in doubt, cast it out. When Kyle was in high school, he had all these trophies of class favorite and all these kind of things. And one day he came home and I had gotten rid of all of them because they were little statues. But he was real nice about it. He didn't get mad at me. And another time, we had a wooden elephant that was belonged to my husband. His mother gave it to him. And one day Kyle and his brother went with my husband. And when they came back, the wooden elephant was in the fireplace burning. But my mother gave me that. When in doubt, throw it out. Because it contaminates. This is terrible, but somebody gave me an angel a few years ago that I bet you they paid $200 for that angel. And sad to say, when they left, that angel got the hammer to it. And I pray, Lord, please don't let them come back to my house because I'm going to have to tell them the truth when they want to know what happened to that angel. So don't let them come back to see me. Acts 19:19, it says that they brought all their occultic books and burned them, and the gospel spread.
Yes.
So that can be a hindrance even to our ministry growing, is to have some kind of a cult thing in there. Deuteronomy 7:25-26 says the graven images of their gods, they're not even yours. the graven image of their gods you're to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that's on them, nor take for yourselves, or you will be snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. You know, I don't have little things sitting around in my hat, these little icons or whatever you call them sitting around, because it brings oppression. The more you bring in there, the more oppression is going to be brought into your home. And that's why I got rid of the angel, because I don't have anything like that. And if you've ever been to my house, the peace of God is in my house. And my garage, because it's cluttered, it's a little bit more it's a little bit more oppressive, because it's where I work outside. But the more cluttered it is, the more oppressive it feels. Okay, and pride is a big block to deliverance. I don't want anyone to think I've got something wrong with me. And that's one thing I love about this place, is because people accept you no matter where you've been. You don't feel judged to share with somebody what's going on in your heart, because we've all been there. So pride, 1 Chronicles 7:14 says, it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And this is the land. There's a world land, a church land, and my body's land. It's soil. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13, I'm soil. And so God says he'll heal my land when I humble myself and I pray. And then idolatry, and that's breaking one of the Ten Commandments of God. You know, we think, well, we don't worship Kali, we don't worship Buddha, we don't worship, but our big idols are, you've got to love me, you've got to notice me, you've got to pay attention to me, you can't reject me, you've got to value me, you've got to talk to me, you've got to communicate to me. It's whatever you're fighting about. It's whatever is raining on your parade. And whatever you fear you won't get, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. Or angry when you don't get it. Or whatever depresses you is idolatry. And then setting under false teachers. The Bible says after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. A false teacher is not going to tell you about sin. A false teacher is going to teach you that without holiness, no man is going to see God. He's not going to teach you that. A false teacher is not going to use the word. He's going to change it up to suit him. And that was a good message last night, Carl. I'm glad God made you teach it, not me. So after you're fully trained, you become like your teacher. So make sure whoever's teaching you is under the lordship of Jesus. You're never going to find a perfect person until you get to heaven. But don't sit under people that have not yielded their life 100% to the Lord. You sit under a pastor that's full of sexual perversion, guess what? You become like him after a while. You know, Merrill mentioned Babylon. Babylon is a picture of the churches or pastors that don't teach, that don't make disciples. Paul talked about, God tells us to make disciples. You don't make disciples unless you're teaching people to deal with their sin. That's making disciples. It's better to make one disciple in your lifetime than 10 million harlots or 10 million people that are harlots. The harlot church, Babylonian church, which is most of what's out there, it's hard to find a place that's teaching the Word of God. That's one thing. I'm thankful for Lake Hamilton. I'm thankful for the messages that I hear that bless my life and change my life. That one principle that Carla taught about, I consider it not, that changed my life. Because we all have things we're believing God for that look hopeless. The last few days, I had to say that so many times because things looked really, or didn't look too good. I had to say, I consider it not, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I don't care what I see, what I don't see, I'm healed. Amen. And I consider it not. The next big block to healing is trusting doctors before the Lord. The number one killer of people in the United States is heart trouble. Number two is cancer. Number three is medical mistakes and prescription drugs. Every drug you're taking is another disease. It has a side effect that's another disease. And so if that's what's keeping you from getting healed, You're going to have, and I'm not telling you to quit. That's between you and the Lord and the doctor, or between you and the Lord. But you're not going to get rid, until you get rid of the drug that's causing the symptom, that's not going to be healed. So you've got to deal with side effects of drugs. In fact, if you look up whatever you're taking, if you look that up and look at the side effects, you may not want to take it. 2 Chronicles 16:12, in the 39th year of the reign of Asa, he became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. So Asa slept with his fathers, and having died in the 41st year of his reign. Luke 13:18 says there was a woman that Satan had bound for 18 years, and Jesus cast it out. And then the next barrier is vexation of heart. The Bible says, remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Vexation means sorrow. It means grief. It means anger. It means provocation. And it means idolatry. And it's idolatry because all sin is idolatry. It's because in my pain, instead of turning to God, I turned to something else, which became an idol. So God says, remove it from my heart, and I can put pain out of my body. The next one is failure to have anyone lay hands on you. And make sure you don't let anybody lay hands on you. People that are walking in repentance. One thing we pray in the prayer group this morning, there'll be no transference of evil spirits from us or from the people we're praying for. That's bound. Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's what the Word says. The next barrier is living a lifestyle of an angry, agitated personality. Just the meanest. Proverbs 14 says, passion rottens the bones. Anger, rivalry, strife. Not talking about sexual passion, even. It could be that, but that word passion in the Hebrew means anger, rivalry, envy, jealousy. The next is lack of persevering and lack of standing. People, we give up too quick. Oh, this didn't work, and they prayed for me and it didn't work. And see, I'm seeing deliverance. Sometimes a person will be delivered on the first thing and then maybe have relief 5 days, and then the symptoms will come back. And it didn't mean they didn't get delivered. It just meant it was another layer to the onion. You just have to work on the layers. And I'm thankful the Lord should send a girl to me that had come out of Satanism, had been into Satanism. And the Lord would show us something, and then it would totally leave, and maybe a week later it would come back, and we'd deal with it, cast it out, it'd be a different story, cast it out, and eventually they'd be totally healed. But it was like taking it off layer by layer by layer. So if you're getting delivered and if something comes back, it don't mean you didn't get delivered. It means there's something else you need to see. There could be 1,000 reasons. There's been, seems like 1,000,000 reasons for eye problems for me. But in the midst of all of it, God is prospering my soul. I'm looking. And humbling me, which is good. So the lack of persevering, giving out too quick, fainting. You know, I could say another one is having a perverted image of God. You see God the way you saw your earthly parents. And so that needs to be corrected before you can have a faith in God to answer your prayers. If your daddy never answered your questions, if he was never there, he never communicated with you, he never wanted the best for you, it's hard for you to see that God wants the best for you. The next thing is living a lifestyle of unrest. Unrest, as you learned last night, is a curse. For you, it's a curse. The next thing is the hardness of heart. The next thing is ingratitude. Or thinking the world owes you a living. Psalms 50, verse 23 says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Whoever orders his conversation aright, I will show him my salvation. A joyful heart is a good medicine. God inhabits our praises. And a joyful heart is a good medicine. A sad and grateful heart will make you sick. If God inhabits my praises, who do you think inhabits my groans and moans and grumbles and complaints? You start grumbling, and here come the serpents. And children of Israel, and then, you know, God sent serpents when they grumble and complain. And the serpents we get today are demons, not real snakes. And then he sent his word to heal you. And in the beginning was the word. Jesus is the word. The next thing is being an attention getter. You just want attention. You want somebody to pay attention to you. And you don't really go deep down, don't want to get fixed, because if you got fixed, then you wouldn't get attention. And these people that are attention getters will absolutely sap the life out of ministers that are trying to help them. And then the next thing is anger and unforgiveness. Anger, if it's not dealt with, you've got till Sunday to deal with it. Children, adults, don't ever let the sun go down on your anger. Forgive yourself, forgive others, forgive your mother and father. If you don't, you turn to something else. Matthew 5 says, make friends with your opponent at law quickly, lest he turns you over to the judge to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. So every place I'm angry, I'm in a prison. And Matthew 18 says, if we don't forgive, we're turned over to the tormentors, which is demons that if it inflict pain, it's the pain of disease. It means inquisitor. An inquisitor is a jailer that stretches someone out on a rack and tortures them until they get what they want. Colossians 3:5, go there, please. And this is the last scripture I'm going to in Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So, the consequences of bitterness, you get angry, you let the sun go down on it, the next day it's unforgiveness, the next day it's bitterness. And the consequences of bitterness, physical and chemical imbalance, lower resistance, aching teeth, anger or bitterness can cause the muscles to tighten up. Pressure goes into the nerves to cause aching teeth. Most illnesses today, and this is from Bill Gothard, are a result of bitterness and guilt. Germs will have no effect on you if there's no bitterness and guilt in your life. Hard facial features, premature wrinkles. You know, your face is going to get set. If you're frowning all the time, it's going to be set like that. Bone diseases, bitterness goes directly into the bones. Blood's made in the bone marrow. And not before last, we read about the bones, the blood. Psychological problems, torment, sadness, depression, using up emotional energy, barrenness. Bitterness causes you to be barren and fruitless. You say, well, I have kids, I'm not barren. I'm talking about spiritual barrenness. Fruitlessness, the curse of the law of jealousy, which is, if we commit spiritual adultery, we're under the curse of the law of jealousy. And in the Old Testament, if a man thought his wife was committing adultery, he would take her to the priest. The priest would mix up some dirt from the temple floor, put water in and make her drink it, and she was guilty. Her stomach would swell, her thigh would waste away, she'd be bitter and barren. So that's a curse of the law of jealousy for committing spiritual adultery. Heart problems, hardened heart. Indigestion, you start thinking negative thoughts and you can have indigestion with really quick. That was one thing the Lord delivered me from. I could eat certain things and get indigestion, and it was the caffeine causing it with me. Because I repented of bitterness so many times that wasn't in my life. Because if you're bitter, you're going to get bitter or better. You're either going to be conformed to the image of Christ, or you're going to be conformed to the image of the person that's hurt you, which is the beast. Spiritual identification, you become like the one you're bitter toward and a depraved mind. So how do you overcome bitterness? You forgive. And if you have a hard time forgiving, go back to, if you say the words, I forgive them, but it won't go away, it goes back to Mother Day. It goes back to root cause issues. I mean, the Lord told me that one day when I went out to eat with somebody, we got in a disagreement, and I share this with a lot of you, but I think it's something that helps. And we got in a disagreement, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, and the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. I said, well, Lord, why can't I get over this? She said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the Lord says, she's just like your mother. Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. Forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. And I did. And it went away. You see, if you can quickly forgive, it's not a heart issue. But if it don't want to go away, you got to go back to the foundation. And if it doesn't apply to mom and dad, it applies to grandma and grandpa. So if you will, please stand up. And Lord, in Jesus' name, search my heart. Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Lord, what is it that's hindering me from being what you want me to be? And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you. Where are the problem areas, Lord? And then just sit down, and then we'll pray when you're through. Don't sit down until you're through. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not being willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Forgive me for living my life for self. I invite your Holy Spirit. If you're not in me now, I ask you to possess my body and drive out every demon spirit. God, I just ask you to forgive me for disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments that has brought sickness in my body. And I forgive my forefathers for their disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for wanting to die, trying to kill myself, which has opened me up to a spirit of death. I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not having a clear conscience. Remind me next time that I don't have faith, that I just need to have a clear conscience in that area where I'm not having faith. Forgive me for unconfessed sin. Forgive me for covering over my sin. Forgive me for hiding my sin. God, forgive me for not being a wise person to seek out the spiritual reasons to the problems and to the spiritual roots. Forgive me for ignorance of your word, not having the knowledge that keeps me from perishing. God, I ask you to forgive me for not building my house. I am a spiritual house. Forgive me for not building my house with wisdom and establishing it with understanding and filling all the rooms with knowledge, precious and precious pleasant riches. God, I just ask you to forgive me for not being willing to die to my sin and live to righteousness and by your stripes be healed. God, forgive me for not having the knowledge that gets me delivered. Forgive me for fear, doubt, unbelief, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Forgive me for being angry at myself, bitter toward myself, rejecting myself, hating myself. Forgive me for listening to this unloving, this demon that nitpicks me, this unloving spirit. Forgive me for listening to him. Lord, I thought it was me talking to me. I just break the power of that unloving spirit, self-hatred, self-bitterness. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness of self. Say this, I forgive myself. I get on your potter's wheel, Lord. Forgive me for trying to be the potter. I yield to you. Whatever you want to do with me, Lord, I ask you to fix me. Whatever way you want me fixed, I submit to your will and your plan. Forgive me for trusting man. Forgive me for ungodly soul ties. Forgive me for taking the Lord's Supper with sin in my life. Participating in the occult. God, forgive me for not getting rid of accursed things from my house. You children, you go through your toys, and if it looks like a demon, get rid of it. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for bringing stuff into my house that's contaminated by other people, bringing in stuff from antique shops and stuff that other people have owned that have done evil things. The demons are attached to things that I brought in my house. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And Lord, I pray that when I look at something and if I'm supposed to keep it, increase my peace. And if I'm not supposed to keep it, I ask you to take away my peace. I pray that every time I look at it, I'll have no peace. And that will be my way of knowing that you want me to get rid of it. But if it's okay, give me total peace in Jesus' name. Lord, show me all the books that need to be burned. Forgive me for bringing graven images, worshiping them, Lord, forgive me for bringing abominations into my house, into the church, into my house. I ask you to forgive me, into the ministry, in the name of Jesus. Forgive me. Oh, I forgot this one. Forgive me for saying that kills me, that makes me sick. I'm about to have a heart attack. It scares me to death. I want to die. It drives me crazy, drives me up the wall, gets on my last nerve. I'm hanging on by a thread. Forgive me for saying all those things. In the name of Jesus, mental illness that came in through all that, go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break the curses other people have spoken over us in Jesus' name. I break the power of generational iniquity to the forefathers. The spirits of pride, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. God, forgive me for not being anointed with oil and confessing my sin. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for sitting under false teachers. Forgive me for trusting doctors. Lord, I ask you to show me what medications I'm taking, if any, that have side effects that's killing me. Show me, Lord. Forgive me for vexation. I remove vexation from my heart. You said I can put pain out of my body. You know, I can let life circumstances actually vex me and it bring pain to my body. I can be so mad at myself and it bring pain to my body. Lord, I forgive myself. Failure to have people lay hands on you. God, forgive me for passion, anger, rivalry, envy that's rotten my bones. Lord, forgive me for giving up and quitting too soon. Forgive me for not persevering. Forgive me for not living a lifestyle of rest. Forgive me for hardness of heart. Forgive me for ingratitude, moaning, groaning, complaining, not having a joyful heart that's a good medicine. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for anger, bitterness, all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger. I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I forgive every person you've shown me. I break soul ties with every person that I sin with. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now, I pray that way because there's scripture that talks about the children of Israel that changed the image, changed his image, his glory, for the image in the form of an ox that eats grass. And then God lets you go through things because he wants to conform you into his image. So when I pray that, you can pray it whichever way you break soul ties. I like the way Gail said it, I believe, better than anybody. I heard her say, I call back all of my parts that got on them, and I send back all of their parts that of me that got on. I call back all of my parts and I from them, and I send back everything of their parts that got on me, I send back. And I exchange that image of the beast for the image of Christ, because you can carry the sicknesses, the diseases, through a soul tie. It can be like a thread, like a string, like a rope, like a cable, depending on the soul tie. And when we pray in the mornings for people, we need to break soul ties with every person that's laid hands on us and every person we've laid hands on. We need to break soul ties because things can transfer. In Jesus' name, I come against all these things. I come against anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. I come through, Lord, forgive me for not having a prospering soul. I command all the spirits of a soul that does not prosper to go in Jesus' name. I command physical and chemical imbalance to go. I command lower resistance. I command aching teeth. I command premature wrinkles to go. I command bitterness and guilt to go. I command germs to die on us. I command hard facial features to leave. Bone diseases have to go. Psychological problems, blindness, cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease, macular degeneration of the eyes, distorted vision, blurred vision, blindness has to go. In Jesus' name, I command hearing problems to go. Deafness has to go. Deaf and dumb spirits have to leave. Cancer has to go. Sickness, gluttony, overindulgence, hunger, fat food, sugar, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of addictions, the yoke of bondage. I break the power of the spirit of infirmity to go. Lameness, crippleness, spirits are trying to cripple us, go in Jesus' name. Heart problems, heart disease, indigestion, you have to go in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of a depraved mind, go. Barrenness, fruitlessness, depression, discouragement, minutes ago. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of every demon of sadness, mourning, moaning. Have to go in Jesus' name. Defeat, failure, go. All the lies that were worthless, every lie we believed about God has to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of sorcery, all divination has to go. Spirits that are rotting our bones, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of trusting in man, trusting in the flesh. I break the power of addictions to legal drugs, to illegal drugs. I break the power of caffeine, vexation has to go. Spirits of failure, all the lies that were a failure. I break the power of a lie. It's all idolatry. All idolatry has to go. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of sickness, distress, disease, plague, pride has to go. Plague, pestilence has to go. I break curses that kills me, that makes me sick. I'm about to die. That kills me. I break the power of it. I break the power that scares me to death. I'll beat you black and blue. I hope God. I break that. I break the power of this drives me crazy. In the name of Jesus, I break the power. I'm hanging on by a thread. What else? What else do people say? That blows my mind. What else?
You're pushing my
buttons. What else?
Too sick to die.
Poor as a church mouse. I'm so broke it kills me. What else?
I'm tired.
I'm wore out. I'm just worn out. You poor thing. You poor soul. What? Pity party? Fatty, fatty, 2x4, I break that in Jesus' name. We break the power of those words. We break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, sign of satanic ritual spoken over our lives and over this place, over Patty, Carol, Patty, Kevin, Merrill, over Rick, over Sandy, over Linda, over every person that works at this camp, over every person that comes to this camp. In Jesus' name, we declare this campground is holy ground, and that the minute an evil person sits on this property, every demon in it is bound deaf, dumb, blind, and helpless. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Every spirit that came in to the sins they confessed has to go. In Jesus' name, I break your power. I break your power. Come out. Loose them in Jesus' name. Loose every person in here. For our weapons are not worldly, but mighty to God. For the smashing down of strongholds. We smash down every stronghold. In Jesus' name, we cast down every imagination. Every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive in Jesus' name every thought to the obedience of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God you are. You are.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.